Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. My name is Don Nikoloff. I'll be your host for the next hour. And this is January 30th on the East Coast, January 29th on the West Coast. And we are having a technical difficulty. I cannot hear a thing going on in the studio. They can hear me. Hopefully you are hearing me. I kind of feel like Helen Keller in a way. I'm not making fun of Helen Keller. I'm just letting you know that it feels a bit strange not knowing what's being said about me in the studio. So they're kind enough. We're communicating via chat, so don't worry. Everything's going to be fine as long as I keep my chat page open and take a look and read every once in a while. Okay, they tell me the sound is great, so I thank the guys for that. Yesterday I spoke, and when I say yesterday, I mean Monday evening, I spoke about the State of the Onion speech, I called it, and I was peeling back the layers of the proclamations of our president. And nothing rang true to me. In fact, I know quite a bit about what's going on financially in the world, as I have reported numerous times on this show, as I have written many times on the web, particularly a big article I did about Wantagate in the Idaho Observer a year ago, January. In fact, the article came out on the web on January 19th, and the newspaper was published on January 22nd, and that article went around the world, and was quite interesting that I got a lot of email from England and France and Germany, Australia, Thailand, virtually all over the world, and many, many copies were sent by some other journalists who found it very interesting that I sort of connected the dots with all the financial corruption that has historically been going on in the United States on account of our government for the past 20 to now going on 22 years. In fact, this corruption had been going on since the beginning of the 1980s. It's really closer to 30 years now. Not quite there yet. And then we could keep going back into history, and I'm sure with the creation of the Federal Reserve and the Great Depression and the taking of all the people's gold in 1933, and then the issuance of gold certificates that were hidden in offshore bank accounts, we can talk endlessly about the amount of corruption that has taken place at the hands of our government. Now, in light of that, the speech last night was very empty, very hollow. There were lots of proclamations about all the wonderful things that were going to be done or were being done, including the bone that was basically waved before everyone's nose, that people, the taxpayers, would be getting refunds, which are really credits. When they use this term credit, they're talking about, well, you're going to get this money now, but you're going to have to pay it back later. We're going to figure a way to take it from you. Anywhere from $300 to $2,400. That didn't bode very well. That didn't sit very well with many of the Patriot talk show hosts. I had the opportunity early today to listen to a few of my favorite talk show hosts. Michael Herzog did an interesting expose on the speech. Robbie Noel did another one, both of them on Republic Broadcasting Network. And I found it interesting that pretty much across the board, everyone who had listened to that speech had basically the same take that I had. What I might have expounded upon may have differed slightly because I have some more specific information regarding certain aspects of what's going on in the economic community, particularly in light of the home loan scandal that's going on. Of course, they like to call it the subprime rate scandal, where they gave loans, home loans, to many unqualified families. And really, this was done intentionally. It was done primarily to hide a lot of the corrupt funds or to duplicate funds that had been stolen from other accounts. Historically, and I know this goes back to way back into the late 1980s and the early 1990s, there was a lot of corruption in HUD, Housing and Urban Development, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the three-letter alphabet agencies of the government. Locally in Ohio, there were some problems with HUD, and someone, one of the managers, departmental managers in Cleveland, took a fall. He happened to have been an attorney also, not a very good attorney at that. In fact, that's probably why he was working for HUD, and he wasn't very good at managing the money there. Of course, what they don't tell you is that a lot of that money is funneled into other programs, and the banks played games. Now, part of the housing scandal has to do with what is called an act of conversion. We can use Wantagate and Citibank's manipulation of the funds, their electronic ping pong game that they're playing by bouncing the accounts to Deutsche Bank or a myriad of other banks associated with the CIA and the Dachau DVD, which is the continuing Nazi SS underground, which operated both in Oklahoma City as well as in Dachau, Germany. There happened to have been a Dachau concentration camp also, and that group was headed by Admiral Canaris. Now, Canaris moved to Oklahoma City and had everything to do with the Oklahoma City bombing, the particular bombing of the Murrah Federal Building, where they stored the records on Agent Orange and also many of the records of those that were brought into the country under Operation Paperclip. Why they had to destroy that building? Well, they attacked the financial offices, much like they did on 9/11. They attacked the financial offices at the World Trade Center, much like they did on 9/11 at the Pentagon. They attacked the financial offices of what I understand is the Naval Department. And they were obviously covering up the corruption. Now we have this surfacing in the central banks, in the banking community, and there are some 200 to 400 banks that are behind this corruption, this money laundering, this duplication of the funds, or what we could call a hypothecation of funds based on assets that are in offshore accounts. Some in the possession of George H.W. Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and George W. Bush, as well as Dick Cheney, Michael Chertoff, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, probably at one point Donald Rumsfeld, possibly the Attorney General who has resigned recently, Alberto Gonzalez. These people are all named in the lawsuit, and they all have something to do with the money laundering and the obfuscation of the original Wantagate $27.5 trillion. Now, what the banks did in the case of these loans, not only did they loan money to people who were unqualified, but they then moved in and sold the bank paper, in other words, the original contracts with the home buyers, they sold these contracts to other banks. So now the money laundering began. So they tried to legitimize the illegitimate funds that were duplicated from the original $27.5 trillion. And by so doing, they at least on the surface, appeared now to own this real estate. And they could shuffle their books, their double or triple books, around to the extent that if they presented someone with a foreclosure document or a mortgage, that they could then go into court and reclaim the property, not actually having invested any real money whatsoever, because all these funds are made out of thin air. All these funds are hypothecated, which means they don't even exist. They don't have any assets to back these transactions up other than the phony documentation that they have. Well, we had a case recently in Ohio, a number of cases, but they were sort of blanketed under a judge's decision. And for once, a judge actually made a decision in favor of an American citizen. And Deutsche Bank, who had come to Ohio and was in the process of foreclosing on several thousand houses in the Cleveland area, was the judge turned this maneuver around and found in favor of the homeowners. The reason that they did not have a copy of the contract that Deutsche Bank presented to the court during the foreclosure proceedings. They could not produce that because they rightfully didn't own the properties. So we have this type of masquerade going on in the banking industry. However, they blame it on the people that couldn't make their payments. It's quite possible many people were unable to make payments. After all, we don't have jobs. They're giving our jobs to illegal aliens. Now, it's not a question of do we want the jobs or do we have the jobs. When you take corporate jobs or when you take manufacturing jobs out of the country and give them to foreigners at a pittance of what we made working those jobs here in the United States, you are disempowering people. You're forcing them to either go on some sort of workman's compensation or collecting some kind of benefit, early retirement, maybe a total change in career, maybe some people had to go on disability. So now they're tapping into the whatever funds we may have based upon their questionable eligibility to even receive any kind of assistance. And we're further taxing or further working what little capital there is to support all of these social programs. That is the reality of what's going on with our financial status. Now, what they're doing to make everybody happy, to win votes, yes, they're going to give us $300 or $600 or up to $2,400 per family, which barely pays anything. If it's a house payment, you're lucky if it pays two house payments. In some cases, people are going to make one payment, or they're going to go out and buy food, or they're going to pay on their car so at least they can drive around and try to find work somewhere. But this idea that, the economy is doing well and everything's hunky-dory, we're going to create new jobs and people are going to get continuing education and be retrained for new jobs, it's a bunch of malarkey. And any of you out there who are listening to this show right now who know the foundation, I just explained to you what the banks are doing with the money and the corruption that's going on. I myself had a bank call asking for a physical address to the property where I live. They wanted to keep this record, according to them, to stay in compliance with the Patriot Act, since when is a house a terrorist threat? However, to make a long story short, I asked the person what page of the Patriot Act that this regulation or this rule was stated. So so that I could comply with the Patriot Act. And the person couldn't answer the question. And I said, well, I've got a copy of the Patriot Act. I'll read it. I read some 246 pages of the Patriot Act, and never once did I find anything that said that I had to tell the bank what the physical address was where I lived. In fact, what's interesting is the bank doesn't even hold the mortgage on the house. And I don't even have an account with the bank. So I sensed at the time that there was some kind of hanky-panky going on with the bank, that somebody was going to buy up their mortgage contracts, and it may have been Deutsche Bank. I never found out. But the point I'm making is that this type of thing is going on every day, and it spread to a part of a community that has nothing to do with what's going on in Cleveland, other than that it's in the same state. So the act of conversion that these banks tried to play on the people whom they were foreclosing on has been turned around the other way. Now, whether these people know it or not, whether you know it or not, when a bank or any financial institution perpetrates an act of conversion on you, you can sue them and you can claim triple damages for whatever your loss was or whatever the potential loss was. If they were going to foreclose on a $100,000 house, you can sue them for $300,000. If they were foreclosing on a $200,000 house, you can sue them for $600,000. And the law states that it's triple damages. This is the same scenario that's going on with the want of money and Citibank. Citibank is withholding the money. The money is being stolen in real time, and it has everything to do right now with what's going on with the depreciation of the dollar, with the loss of jobs, with the loss of money in the treasury. And I mention again that a mere $1.575 trillion, and that's a lot of money, but it's a mere pittance compared to the total $27.5 trillion that Ambassador Wanta amassed, destabilizing the Russian ruble. That amount of money, that $1.575 trillion, is enough money to earn $200 billion of interest on a daily basis. And these people have stolen the money. Now, I've mentioned several times that Hillary Clinton is involved in it. Okay? Here we have someone who is involved in gross theft, massive theft. In fact, folks, this is the largest bank heist in world history going on right now. And still the mainstream media has yet to report a lick on it. And you're not going to hear anything from them because they're engaged in propaganda, as I've said at other times, on other shows, and also in writing. They're engaged in propaganda. They don't want you to know what's going on. They're following the whims of the government, the shadow government, the Illuminati, the New World Order, all the secret societies, whatever you want to call them, the people that are pulling the strings. By the way, I failed to mention Vice President Dick Cheney. He's also involved in this. In fact, he's most likely the one orchestrating all of this and causing Bush or the Bush clan to take the majority of the fall for what's going on. But they're all involved. They're all involved. It's been documented 1,000 times by people across the planet. So I'm not the first one to mention this. I'm not the first one to discuss it or bring it up or present any of the facts. Facts have been published in books, published on the internet, and just because they're on the internet doesn't mean they're not true. In fact, the internet is today the only place you can find the truth. You're not going to find it on the TV and most radio. Alternative media is the exception. Now, Christopher Story, who has been the mouthpiece for Ambassador Lee, now he's going by his birth name, Lee Wanta, and Michael C. Cottrell, and their Ameritrust Group, Inc., has written another new article, actually a couple of new articles, and in fact, I'm going to have those posted hopefully this evening sometime or the early morning hours We've had quite a bit of wind, and the electricity's been going on and off, blinking on and off for the last several hours. I guess we have HARP to thank for that. But I will be discussing that somewhat tonight, because this talks literally about what's going on, about the game that's being played by the intelligence agencies, who are basically controlling all the governments around the world. You have an element of organized crime that's working through the Vatican, through the Jesuits, through the Opus Dei, the Freemasons. Of course, this is a Zionist movement, but they don't like to take the blame. The way it's presented publicly is you blame the Jews, you blame the Hollywood film producers. Yes, they play a big role. You blame the Jewish media moguls who own newspapers and magazines. You blame them. But it's the same tiny clique of people that own all the media. They own the TV, they own the radio, they own the newspapers, and they own the magazines. Why do you think they have the Associated Press or the United Press International? It's so they can control what information gets out, period. They make it appear to be some service that they're doing for you by having these associations, but in reality what they do is they control the release of the information and the release of the disinformation too. Now, when I listened to the State of the Onion speech last night, I was appalled at some of the comments that were being made, and I referenced those last night about liberty and about democracy. Here in our country, virtually every state, there's argument to the fact that there is corruption. We know without a doubt, more facts are coming out about New Hampshire and the corruption that's gone on there. Probably because Ron Paul stood the biggest chance to win that state, and by all the exit polls, he had won the state. Yet the results gave us something totally opposite of what the reality was. Now, there were some interesting, and this is going on everywhere, mind you, all the other states, there is some dispute. Even the recounts are fixed. Even the process of storing the ballots has been contaminated or tainted by corruption. You end up having sealed boxes, either delivered by the highway patrol or a sheriff's deputy, leaving the guard of whatever law enforcement agency is holding on to these ballots. They're taken to the recount location, opened, unsealed, and in some cases the packaging or the boxes and the seals themselves have been described to be in such horrible shape or such inferior quality that they had to be scotch taped. Now, that may just be the ruse to hide the fact that they pried these open, they peeled and said, well, it's not very good tape. Get some good tape. My goodness, you're spending millions of dollars. They spent millions of dollars on these ballots, and they printed extra ballots. They printed more ballots than they needed, many more. And now the charges are that many of the electronic records, which are supposed to keep for a minimum of 22 months, have disappeared. So you wonder, on every turn, at every corner, we're finding out that some aspect of the election, some aspect of the recount, some aspect of the collecting of the funds, which are required to enact the recount, are bogus. And we're told, oh yes, we're spreading democracy and liberty around the world, while our government is condoning the murder of millions of innocent people and stealing their assets at the same time, both both their natural resources as well as their bank assets, bombing their buildings to smithereens, killing the fathers and the sons, raping the women, torturing those that they capture alive until they can't withstand the torture anymore, driving people out of the country, causing them to become refugees, and we get this claptrap that we're spreading democracy. We're spreading liberty. Now, I promised I was going to talk more about that speech. Actually, it doesn't really warrant any more attention than it got. It was empty and hollow and mindless. And the fact that our Congress was applauding what was said, which had no substance to itself whatsoever, is really indicative of why our country's in such bad shape. Not only do we have incompetence at the top, every check and balance that we have on the way has been corrupted. Now, Christopher Story wrote a very interesting article, and I'd like to read a couple of quotes from it. The article is dated Sunday, the 27th of January, and the headline is, "Are the payouts being hijacked in real time? Why would the criminal operatives cease and desist?" Now, he's referring to Wantagate and the theft of trillions of dollars. He points out in some subtitles, Ava Tulake and Mark Rich are re-outed as Stasi or DVD operatives. And I just mentioned the Dachau DVD, and he's connecting the dots. I must interject here that I not only myself did this 2 years ago, but I wrote about it, and it's in my Idaho Observer article from January 22nd, 2007. You can read that article on my website, directlightproductions.com. You go to the articles page or the archives page. It's in both sections, and I'm updating that page. I did a little bit of a software update to add some more features to my website, and the new versions should be up there this evening sometime or early morning. Also, you can go to several other websites, rents.com, posted the article. Ken Adachi at educate-yourself posted the article. I should say educate-yourself.org. Conspiracy Planet is another website that posted the articles. There were innumerable websites throughout the world that have posted this. And the reason why, it has everything to do with the world's economy, despite what we're told. Despite that, we're told that a $7 billion loss in vanilla's vanilla futures is the cause of the world's demise right now. Give me a break. So Ava Tulake. Now, who was Ava Tulake? Well, I did some research 2 years ago on this woman, and I came to the conclusion that she was probably working with the Nazis. She's from Hungary. She comes from an aristocratic family that, by all accounts, appears to be not just Zionist, but also of the criminal element. Interestingly, Ava Tulake's name, she was referred to as Madame Tulake, appeared in a document that was written by Leo Wanta in November of 2001. Less than two full months after 9/11, Leo Wanta was writing to Vice President Dick Cheney that people were wanting their boxes. Now, what does that mean? Well, this meeting took place in Manila in the Philippines. And the meeting was about giving more ammunition, more cash, and more weapons. In particular, was mentioned Stinger missiles, Chinese 105 millimeter Stinger missiles. These are ground-to-air missiles. They're wire-type missiles that were previously being used to shoot at helicopters in Afghanistan. The gentleman who was representing Al-Qaeda was named Datu Ben Abu. And he was at this meeting at a hotel in Manila in a wheelchair. And Madam Talaki was there, and there were several agents, either from the FBI or the CIA, who were also there meeting with these people, and a Dr. Navarro. And there was this exchange of a cash, weapons, Red Mercury, Stinger missiles, Promise software, and Lord knows what else. Maybe that's where Osama bin Laden got his black hair dye that he used in his most recent photograph that they put out for human consumption several months ago. The one that made him look about 30 years younger. Now, in another subtitle in this article, Gordon Thomas and the aborted MI6 attempt to discredit this editor, and this is referring to Christopher Story. MI16 tried to blackmail the editor in 2004 to stop him helping Wanta. Now it is content with the outcome and is being helpful, we understand. Now he goes on to describe, actually, first he asks some rhetorical questions. Why would the thefts cease with the actual payouts? Now he's talking about the fact that Wanta is due $4.5 trillion, which he is to pay $1.575 trillion into the U.S. Treasury, which will earn $200 billion a day. A day! In addition to that, there are countries lined up. Some of these countries are Russia, Israel, Germany, Holland, France, England, Spain, Mexico. They're all to get $5 billion, although Vladimir Putin was expecting $30 billion out of that money. And that was for their part in facilitating the amassing of this $27.5 trillion. These people, along with Leo Wanta and Michael Cottrell, were waiting virtually the whole month of December in New York City for Citibank to fork over the money, which they never did. The money, $47 trillion, ended up in the hands of the Israelis. And they tracked that money there using Promise software. Okay, Christopher Story asks, what is the basis for the unspoken assumption that the criminal thefts would be liable to cease once the payouts have begun, assuming that that is the case, which is not confirmed and which may itself be disinformation? It has no basis in common sense, surely. On the contrary, using the street bank raid model, what is the moment of the high street branch's greatest vulnerability? Why it must be when the armored cash transportation vehicle draws up outside the bank and two helmeted couriers jump out, enter the bank, and engage with the bank staff for the transfer of the funds? Is that not when the bank is most vulnerable to being robbed? And may that not well be the situation prevailing as we speak? Why would the most ruthless and reckless world-class fascist global dictatorship criminals stop their stealing and wholesale open-ended criminality, which has been funding their grab for total global power, just because the actual payout processes triggered by Wantagate have begun? Surely they would have prepared for precisely this eventuality and would now have switched in accordance with their standard bait-and-switch formula to Plan B, namely the daylight robbery of as they are being transferred. That's a question, by the way. Sorts of devices and solutions to then present themselves. For start, how about the sudden discovery of vast black holes at banks infested with rats, such as the Société Générale, that is in Paris. I should say Société. Now, Interestingly, let me regress a moment, President Sarkozy of France, who happens to be of Hungarian extraction, just like Madame Eva Teleki, and he is now controlling France and had been seen in the United States several times late fall with former President George H.W. Bush and his son on a fishing trip in New England. And he rebuked the press for taking pictures of him. Obviously, they were working something out, because not too long ago, there was a massive transfer of funds to the bank in France, and that's what Christopher Story just named. Begin by revealing that a lone rogue trader has been caught in the act of trying to cover up unauthorized trades that had generated losses, initially estimated at $7 billion. Now, here he's speaking about the young man, the Frenchman, who's a broker dealing in vanilla trades. What I heard today from Bob Chapman on another radio program, and Bob Chapman is the publisher of the Financial Forecaster, a well-respected financial magazine. He said that the loss couldn't be blamed totally on this young man himself. Now listen to what Christopher Story goes on to say. Then, add a knot onto the $7 billion, pending an imminent decision to add a further knot, so that before you can say merde, and that's a French word for guess what, more than once, the black hole has expanded to $700 billion. Awfully convenient device, this. So, they're claiming that this young man that supposedly had some bogus transactions go down in the vanilla stock market. I didn't know that vanilla was that big, but I guess it is. Really, it's $700 billion, not $7 billion. Although you can't attribute that to him. He's taking the fall. He's the Lee Harvey Oswald of this financial scandal over there in France. Back to Christopher's article. Timely sudden bulls emerge from nowhere. Note that in the above model, the B of black is capitalized here. Right. Because it's probably yet another black operation designed to vanish, in this case, $700 billion from scrutiny. Mind you, a rogue trader can't do stuff like that on his Todd. Nope. There are certainly lots of rats behind the black hole in question, and behind the others that will surface over the next days and weeks. You bet. Now, in any contrived black hole, criminal financial environment, opportunities for the standard Luciferian criminal practice of duplication abound. So what, then, is going on? Well, the payout funds may have been ransacked or are being ransacked or are targeted for ransacking, have been duplicated, are being duplicated, or are targeted for duplication right now. That's what may be going on. Now, it's funny that this man is in England and I'm here in the States, and we're both kind of seeing the same thing going on. Although I must say I get a lot of my information from Mr. Story. I'm watching in real time what's going on here, and I'm listening to the claptrap coming out of the financial experts and the financial forecasters, and they don't know what they're talking about because they cannot make sense without paying attention and acknowledging what's going on in this particular case. And I'm speaking about the Wantagate money. For those of you just joining the show or hearing about this for the first time, you're listening to Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff. And let me go on to say that it's not just about $27.5 trillion. In actuality, the Federal Reserve most likely now is upside down, meaning in the red, by $1.5 quadrillion dollars. That's a quadrillion. $1.5 quadrillion. That's 1,500 trillion dollars. try to grasp that, which is you've got to add more zeros. What is it, 15 zeros? So we shouldn't just sit here complacently and think, great, this crisis is nearly over. The payouts are proceeding without contemplating the strong probability that the unrepentant criminal cadres have switched to Plan B and are rating the payouts in real time. Now, it is true that there are four teams using enhanced promise-based software 24/7 so that each and every illegal transaction can be and is being traced as it occurs. Fine, but when did that knowledge prevent the crime from carrying on stealing in any way, shape, or form? It has not done so in the recent past. Why would such surveillance be liable to stop the thefts at this late stage? The criminal cadres are desperate. These people are desperate. Their bank accounts have been largely frozen. Many have fled since Wantagate became public knowledge. Others have been arrested en masse and are languishing today in such delightful locations as Belmarsh Prison at Her Majesty's pleasure as terrorists. Others are on the brink of being arrested under European terrorism laws in a delightful contra use of the very weapon that these criminal minds invented to suppress the rest of us. Senior and lesser U.S. officials have been shot in the chest at point-blank range, and others will certainly, we are led to believe, suffer a similar dreadful fate. The bloodletting that started some time ago is believed to be continuing, both figuratively and literally. So why, must we ask, should we assume that the actual payout process would not be hijacked as well? Doesn't the world yet understand that the Germanic, Zionist, Luciferian mentality we are dealing with never knows when the game is up? At Dachau, the Nazis and the Zionists collaborate. That's the big secret, the essence of the classic SIB operation where the assumed victim is the perpetrator. This does not implicate the Jewish and German peoples generally, only a tiny portion of them. Unfortunately for the rest of their communities, Wantagate has compelled the rest of the world to become more keenly aware of how far these criminal operatives are prepared to go to get their way. For us, the war has never stopped and is well known in every war, every ruse is possible. From the Madrid Circular letter, dated September 1950, intercepted by the Western Allies while en route to Bonn, Rome, Barcelona, Buenos Aires, and South Africa. And that is referenced in Christopher Story's January 22nd report, 2008. Coincidentally, that report is exactly 1 year later than the Wantagate story that I published in the Idaho Observer. Isn't that interesting? So the dates even have some significance here, even of the reporting. So it would be entirely in character with the nature of this unprecedented millennial crisis and with the Luciferian mentality of the black perpetrators involved for the stealing, the deception, the double cross, the diversionary claptrap, and all the other filthy devices that these people routinely use to blow smoke in our faces to be continuing, given that they have their backs to the wall. Now, that in mind, after hearing all this, certainly what you hear from the State of the Onion address has to raise some doubt in your mind. Christopher goes on to say, and he uses a metaphor, they may not even know when they are being confronted because they live in a parallel world that is 100% conditioned by their criminal mentality. It is quite possible that some of these odious people haven't even realized that they are being faced down, as this has never happened before. And because it has never happened before, and they have got away for decades with their bank raids, starting in earnest with the stealing of Ambassador Wanta's $27.5 trillion, with which the black forces have been financing their global fascist takeover offensive, they may still imagine that what they face right now is just a blip in their plans, which will be smoothed over as soon as they gain the upper hand. Like when Hillary Clinton has been installed in the White House, possibly with Bill Clinton as her veep. That's the macro plan, and they are sticking to it. Unreliable enforcement arms, Interpol and MI6. Now, he goes on to say, in the preceding report from 25th of January 2008, we stated that two enforcement arms deployed to ensure that the payouts are implemented without any further stealing are Interpol and MI6. This hardly encourages one to have confidence in a satisfactory outcome. Interpol is believed, like all New World Order collectivist international organizations, to be thoroughly corrupt and capable of being manipulated. As for MI6, it is penetrated and divided, just like the CIA. Furthermore, MI6 had attempted in 2004 to discredit the editor of this service. Full details of that operation were published in the International Currency Review, Volume 30, Numbers 2 and 3, on pages 27 through 39, dated January 2005. What happened was as follows. The editor visited the well-known veteran journalist and author Gordon Thomas in Bath, Somerset, on the 18th November that year for a general discussion about geopolitical developments. Instead of enjoying such a chat, the veteran journalist, who has close MI6 contacts, proceeded to divulge to the editor that MI6 had recently distributed to the gullible British mainstream media two packages of disinformation fairy tales about the editor. How MI6 tried to discredit this editor in 2004. The first concerned some farrago about a figure called Bernie Eccleston and some motor racing venture of his in Monaco with which the editor was supposed to have been involved. The editor has never participated in any venture other than his own businesses, which are self-supporting and have never accepted funding from any outside source. The second piece of invented MI6 claptrap concerned a concocted lie about the editor's alleged involvement with Mark Thatcher in the aborted Equatorial Guinea scandal, the suggestion being that the editor was among sources that had helped to finance the operation. The editor has done nothing since the early 1970s, when he acquired ownership of International Currency Review, but write and produce the publications advertised on our website. He has never funded or contributed to anything other than his wholly owned publishing businesses. He is not interested in any other ventures and never has been. Now, he goes into the detail in this article, and I encourage you to go to worldreports.org to read the rest of it. I'd like to just comment a bit on this now. Who are the MI6? Well, the MI6 are the British counterpart of our CIA. Who controls MI6? Well, one would think MI6 controls themselves, or some aspect of the British government has a say. The way I hear it is that the Jesuits and the Vatican control the intelligence agencies pretty much on a worldwide basis. My research has shown me that. The research of Eric John Phelps, the author of the book of Vatican Assassins, and a frequent talk show guest, also points to the Jesuits as being the masterminds behind this. The Jesuits control the Vatican through Fordham University in New York, and they control Washington through Georgetown, George Washington University, and they also control what goes on in the East Coast via Boston College. Those are all three Jesuit schools. And they're not the only ones. The Jesuits pretty much control all the sinister stuff that goes on in the world. The assassinations, the murder, the mass murder of people, they're behind it. Peter Hans Kolvenbach is the Black Pope. they claim he is the one that controls the Pope in the Vatican. In this case, we have a Jewish Pope by the name of Ratzinger with ties to the Nazis that go way back to World War II, as did Pope John Paul as well. In fact, Pope John Paul sold the Klystron B gas to Dachau DVD and Auschwitz, I understand. Now, take all that into consideration and then think about the rhetoric that we heard that the economy is doing well and it's going to get better because we're going to create jobs. For whom? Wouldn't it make sense, first of all, to create jobs for your own people before you invite other people to come into the country to take the jobs? People who are illegally in the country? People who are committing other crimes against Americans? Raping women, murdering men, women, and children, causing accidents, robbing and stealing businesses, stealing cars. I touched upon it last night somewhat. Los Angeles is victimized by this. When I lived in L.A., they already had an insurance scam going on where you would get in an accident because they were aiming to get you into an accident, and they would sue your insurance company. And instead of being thrown out of the country for being here illegally, and I described how they lived 20 to 30 people in a small apartment, a one- or a two-bedroom apartment, sleeping on the floors, even in the hallways and in the bathroom and the kitchen, you have to ask yourself. I mean, I'm all for people having jobs and having a place to live. But do it legally. What happens to an American that goes illegally to Mexico? You end up in jail. You end up having everything stolen from you. And you end up with no rights. And you might languish in the jail there for years. Sort of like what they're doing to all the so-called terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. So we have a lot of doublespeak here. We have this boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, they're still touting that name around, talking about his new release tapes. And you can figure out when something's going to happen by the date they release the tape. Anybody, keep that in mind the next time you see a bin Laden tape. At least us knowing that, my telling you that, it's going to force them to have to work out another system. And we'll figure that one out too. Christopher Story goes on in the article to talk about the planned attack and the associations, the international associations with the London attacks, and he blames these attacks in great part on Ava Tulake, who's also involved in Wantagate, that she was making payoffs to people in London before the London train bombings and the bus bombings that occurred. One bus was driven to the front door of Tavistock Institute. I guess they needed to take a picture or a snapshot or just witness their evil firsthand. It was sort of a trophy presentation for them to witness the murder of innocent people right at their doorstep. And these are the people that control all the mind control programs over here in the United States, folks. And they do it through the educational system as well. It's pretty interesting. If you go to the Wharton School of Business, you make it pretty big in America. But that's a requirement to meet the dictates of the Jesuits or the Yaesu Society, as they like to call themselves. They have nothing to do with Jesus other than being the Antichrist themselves. But this is presented to us on a silver platter as democracy and liberty. No mention of freedom, but liberty. That's permission for a short time. So this is really what's going on in the financial world. It has everything to do with the failure of many banks, and we can say Bank of America, Wells Fargo Bank, Citibank, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, a Chemical Bank, Bank of New York Mellon, the Bank of Nova Scotia, Deutsche Bank, UBS Switzerland. I got a report 2 months ago that UBS Switzerland is bankrupt. They're insolvent. They have no money. Yet you hear nothing about that. They have to cover that up. And you have Commerzbank involved in the money laundering. You've got banks in Vietnam, India, Korea, Indonesia, Cambodia. You've got them all over the world involved in this money laundering scheme. And the funny thing about this is, whose money is it? Who does the money really belong to? I mean, if you follow President Reagan's executive order number 12333, it belongs to the American people. After all, we pay the salaries of these people, or at least that's what we're told. Although I could probably show you that the Vatican actually pays the intelligence agencies. At least the black ops side of the intelligence agencies. And they're engaged in eavesdropping and spying on American people for what reason? So that we can stop from telling you this truth that's coming out right now? Is that what they pay them to do? Is that why we're spying upon? You know, I don't know any terrorists personally, and I don't talk to terrorists. And I'm sure most of the listeners don't themselves. And I'm sure the cave dwellers over there in Afghanistan or Pakistan or wherever they're hiding, in Uzbekistan, wherever they're hiding, if they have internet, I doubt that they're listening to the show tonight. And if they do, they're probably laughing because they know I'm right. They had nothing to do with 9/11. They had nothing to do with the anthrax attacks. That's, we have short memories here too, folks. They rely on that because the brainwashing is intended to give you a short memory. They're continuing to poison our food, our water. They're talking about new science, and I heard this report while I was in Orlando on the Ron Paul rally that they're going to clean up our waste and turn it into drinking water. Clean up the water and turn that into drinking water. Start with the water first. That would make some sense. What kind of fools do you people take us for? The thing is, most of you aren't people. Hopefully this message got through to a couple of people tonight. We are already out of time. I thank you for listening. I peeled the onion a bit more, and I felt it was important to keep us up to speed with what's happening in real time to our economy, because this is being held and kept from the public. The media knows about that. They've received the emails from Christopher Story. Every time the President of the United States got a letter from someone in this case, the media got the letter. And they've not reported it once. So you know the media is corrupt. And they're so corrupt that they wouldn't invite someone like myself to a debate or an interview because they know that I'd take him to task. And so would many others that are aware of this story. I heard no mention of the Security Prosperity Partnership, the superhighway going through Texas. I heard nothing about that. I heard nothing about the North American Union. All I heard was propaganda. And they carefully scripted the speech so that as we peeled back the layers of the onion, we would hit a dead end. But we noticed that they left certain portions out of the speech. The parts that really had to do, what can you say? Can you say, well, we're not really forming a North American Union, or we're not building a highway, we're not letting Mexican truckers drive all the way to Kansas, we're not turning Kansas City into a Mexican port? Were they going to say that? No. They don't want to draw the attention. So you didn't hear that. All you got was spin on what they know pretty much everybody is aware of. But you got spin. You didn't get the truth. The whole speech was a lie. And the Congress stood up like a bunch of monkeys, like organ grinders monkeys, clapping their hands every time they said something like, we're going to win this war. I thought we're not supposed to be in this war. That's what I've been hearing Congress say, that this war is wrong, that the pretenses under which it was instigated were false and misleading, actually corrupt and murderous. But I guess that doesn't matter these days. We've got people voting for Hillary Clinton because they think it would be wonderful to have a woman as president. I'm not against having a woman, but that's not a woman. Mm-mm. Nope. And I couldn't call her a human being either, for a lot of reasons. And many of those reasons center around other aspects of who these people really are. And hopefully on a show, if not later this week, next week, we're going to go into that a little bit. And we're going to talk about who these people really are and where they are really from. I think you'll find that very interesting. Tune into the show tomorrow. I've got Rick Nelson from the Paranormal Research Forum. And he's going to be sharing some very interesting information about the Stan Romanek case. It's an abduction case. It's a case where Stan is receiving message from other parts of the universe. And the messages he's receiving, he is graciously sharing with the rest of the world. We're going to be talking about that on Evident Footprints. In the meantime, I say goodnight to all my friends out there, all the listening audience. Peace, love, and light. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.